Hearing on House Bill 5027. Judy Cushing, if you'll come forward.
Peggy, if I'm going to hand you that.
Judy Cushing, you'll identify yourself for the record and begin your testimony.
Good morning, Madam Chair and members of the committee. My name is Judy Cushing. Thank you so much for the opportunity to testify before you today. I'm the executive director of the Oregon Partnership, which is a statewide nonprofit organization dedicated to prevention and treatment referral of alcohol and other substance abuse. Our organization is governed by a 15-member board, and we have a statewide volunteer base of 500 concerned parents, grandparents, youth educators, health professionals, faith leaders, and business leaders. Our mission is to educate and enable Oregonians to build safe and healthy communities through drug and alcohol prevention and treatment referral services. I'm here today to talk to you mainly about underage drinking and prevention. I'm coming from a little different perspective than your previous, the individuals who testified previously. Underage drinking is the priority focus of not only our organization, but also of the regulatory program of the Oregon Liquor Control Commission. Alcohol is the major drug of choice for kids in Oregon and kids across the country. It is the cause of the four leading causes of death for teens. Alcohol used by minors is linked to all those things, suicides, drownings, highway crashes, and now alcohol poisoning, as we learned of the tragic death of the girl in Corvallis recently. We have a serious problem in Oregon. According to the 2000 survey done by the Office of Alcohol and Drug Abuse Programs, 26.4% of Oregon's eighth graders have used alcohol in the past month. That's more than a fourth. And 42% of our high school juniors. Even more alarming is the fact that we have sixth graders using, and now the average age of first use of alcohol is 11 to 13 years of age, 11 for boys and 12.8 for girls. This problem is a community problem. I don't doubt that the retailers sitting, or the licensees sitting in this room, do not want kids to drink. They don't. We don't, and you don't. And it takes everyone working together to address this issue. The Oregon Liquor Control Commission has been a partner in this effort for the past several years, a significant partner. OLCC's director, Pamela Erickson, serves as vice chair of the Oregon Coalition to Reduce Underage Drinking. That organization is housed at the Oregon Partnership. We all work in collaboration with community coalitions across the state of Oregon, with schools, with law enforcement agencies, with community groups, with youth-serving organizations to raise awareness about the issues of underage drinking and start working together toward the solution. OLCC's partnerships in these efforts has been outstanding. They have had a balanced enforcement program that includes the minor decoy program, but also a keg tag receipt program, a program to train employees, and a program that helps businesses recognize false identification, and the anti-shoulder tapping campaign, which, of course, is where kids get others who are 21 years of age to go in and purchase for them. But we have a lot of work to do. What we are hearing from our community coalitions across the state is that their OLCC agents and representatives in their areas have been great partners, but there aren't enough of them. If parents or community groups call the agent, and there's one agent in a rural community, to try to help enforce laws and look at some of the partying that's going on in the rural areas and either out in a rural piece of property or in the forest or wherever kids are partying, sometimes even in people's homes, there aren't enough agents to help enforce those laws. Where the agents can do what they do, but there just simply isn't enough personnel. largely because there's been a significant increase in licensees. In the last 10 years, the number of licensees in our state has grown by 30%. So the agents in the rural areas of our state are both working with the licensees and trying to carry out the laws that are they are mandated to do. We are encouraging you to look as you consider the budget of the Oregon Liquor Control Commission to look at the number of agents that they have in their budget compared to where we are with the number of licensees to help us in this partnership to reduce underage drinking. We do not want to see more young people die than have already lost their lives nor have changed their lives as a result of alcohol. We have a significant problem to address, and we consider the OLCC to be a pivotal and important and vital part of our prevention effort in this state. That concludes my testimony.
Thank you very much. Any questions? If not, thank you very much. Next, we have Joe Vowles and Jeff Robertson.
In a particular order?
Either one of you, okay. Whoever decides to go first.
Go flip the coin.
Be sure and
you can just go first.
put your name on the record before okay. You begin.
Hello, my name is Jeff Robertson. I'm the Rose City Liquor Agent. I've been there for approximately 2 years. Prior to that, I had 25 years experience in the grocery retail industry with Albertsons, 20 years of that as a manager. My concerns are the budget package number 3. I have some concerns that deal with what I call central buying. Albertsons had a program called central buying, basically. Fred Meyer, Rite Aid, all of the major retailers have done so. In doing so, what central buying is a person in a desk at a general office or some warehouse determines the quantity of product that a store is going to receive. At Albertsons, it was how many extra cases can we ship out to the stores to get a better price on a product. Our warehouse or our back room grew at tremendous rates. We ended up getting a truck trailer sitting in the back of the store to accommodate extra stock that was sent to us that did not sell. The extra profit that was generated by these additional purchases for us was eaten up in additional labor costs at the store location and the additional shrink at a store location or a grocery store is breakage. Every time you handle a case, you have the opportunity to break it, damage it, therefore you do not get full retail for it. Some of the other problems that central buying that would generate for us would be a out-of-stock condition. Believe it or not, even after sending out additional product, what would happen is some areas of our company would sell more product than what was sent out to them. So we would, in some instances, have a overstock in one store and an understock or out-of-stock in another. The problem with outside buying or central buying is the person who's sitting behind the desk normally does not have the hands-on experience, the retail experience, of what's going on in a store. They are called buyers, and that's indeed what they do. They buy. They go ahead and they buy a lot, and it's up to the retail store to go ahead and find a way of selling. As I see affecting my life now in the liquor industry is package number 3, I believe, wants to have someone in the warehouse look at our ordering. That scares me. My store right now is on a growth pattern. The only way to get a growth pattern is to have some additional inventory to allow additional sales. If we are on an inventory cutting program, which it sounds like we are, the first natural instinct of that buyer is going to be, I'm not going to send because I need to cut inventory. I do not want to go ahead and send it to a store and increase his inventory. If I don't have it, I can't sell it. I can't make money on it. That's how I get my pay now, is based on sales. Also, if you have someone sitting behind a desk doing the ordering, they are unable to accommodate the changes in a bar buying habit, if they want to change a product line, if a customer moves into your area and they change your product mix in your store, you cannot react as quickly behind a desk somewhere else than you can at the store location.
Representative Johnson.
Madam Chair, I see Representative Butler and me both flipping through our books.
I think it's 103.
It's 103.
I just want to be able to identify. This is the retail system modernization that would
correct.
Be the 4 cents to increase the inventory reporting capabilities and the new point of sale.
Correct.
Okay. I just want to make sure I know
what you're
talking about.
Madam Chair, while we have a pause, I have a question. Representative Butler asked a question before, and I didn't understand. You sell to individuals. Do bars and lounges and restaurants buy from you, or do they
correct.
Buy direct from Pelosi?
So from us.
They buy from you.
Correct.
You sell all the alcohol in the state goes through us.
Goes through a liquor retail store.
Okay.
Correct.
Thank you.
So consequently, if a bar wants to change from one product to another, they inform us at the store location. If we don't have the product available or we cannot react quickly enough, we don't satisfy that customer's needs. Also, if a new customer moves into your area, and if they want a specific item or they are buying more than what you normally sell, you're unable to accommodate their needs because you don't have the product because somebody else is ordering it for you.
Madam Chair, so I can follow the testimony. I want to ask some questions. If a bar comes to you and says, we want to switch from product A to product B, and you don't have product B, is then the bar able to go shop that at other liquor stores and or liquor agents and find one that does have an inventory of product B?
A bar can buy any place they choose. Correct.
Okay. And so it's because the price is fixed, it is all service that would
correct.
Determine their point of purchase.
Correct. And that's our edge that we feel we have is service at our location. We are on an increase in sales. We do have customer service, and we're very proud of our customer service. That's all we have to offer to a bar is customer service.
Yesterday we saw a stack, they look like punch cards, that are apparently the way that you order inventory right now. Part of this package that you're discussing would include enhanced communication services via computer or the internet with the liquor stores. What's your opinion about that, the inventory management side of it notwithstanding? Do you communicate with the head office, for lack of a better word, well now or not well?
I have a computer system currently. When I first received the store, it was on the Scantron, I believe is what they call it, where you write your order on a piece of paper, mail it in, and then they scan it. I currently switched over to a computer system. It enhances my capability of reacting quickly to my customers' needs because of the information that's also inside my computer as far as min, maxes, that type thing.
So when you do an order right now, someone comes in, the bar owner, and says, I want to buy 6 cases of whatever, do you fax that back to the head office or email it, or how do you communicate?
I order based off normal sales, normal needs. If a new bar wants to switch, and if they need it immediately, because I'm in the Portland metro area, I can respond quickly because I can call the warehouse and do a will call and go pick up their needs. But otherwise, I would have to say I can get that for you within a week on my next order if I was in an outlying area and could not go to the warehouse and receive it.
Thank you. I think what he's saying is he knows that certain bars are going to use a certain
correct.
Amount.
You have your normal, every day they're going to buy, or every week they're going to buy a standard amount of product. You try to outguess their needs to see what they want. And it's a guessing game. It's no different than in the grocery business. If beans are on sale, you try to outguess how many beans you're going to sell in the week.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate your response. And I've got quite a list of people here yet to testify. We can go about 20 more minutes.
Okay, I'm basically done.
I don't want to rush you. But
correct. Mm-hmm. The only, my concern.
The House is in session at 10:30, so we can only go 15.
My concern is.
And I do, we can have people come back tomorrow.
Okay.
I just don't want to.
Okay, my concern is if this budget package does go through, and we have somebody in the warehouse deciding what I'm going to be selling or how much I'm going to be receiving, that's going to affect my bottom line or my income. And I've seen it happen in other retail operations, and it does not work.
Did I crucify your last name earlier?
No, that was actually pretty
close. Though.
Pretty close. Madam Chair and representatives, my name is Joe Valls. I'm the agent at Wilsonville Agency 184.
I'll be very brief. I don't have a lot to say. It's just my main concern is the fact that we've opened up three and going on four new stores in the last 6 months, a year. And a lot of us, although inadvertently, are receiving or actually being impacted by those. Some of the stores more so than others, but all as a whole, the majority of the stores, if you only have one size of the pie and you have four more people coming in and that cash doesn't grow, you're losing. And that's my main concern. That's all I wanted to point out. I think that would go along with Mr. Harrell's testimony that we're being impacted in, you know, various ways along with the bags and so on. And I just wanted to bring that out. If you have any questions, I'm glad to answer.
Representative Hayden, well, and Representative Johnson.
Isn't a geographical thing? Are the stores within commuting distance of your store?
Madam Chair and Representative Hayden, they're not affecting me per se. They're affecting us as a whole. When you bring on, like I mentioned, you have a certain pie that you're working off of, and you bring four new members, and the cash for that pie hasn't increased, we're all taking a loss in that.
But the population of the state is increasing. I don't know if the number of drinkers is increasing.
Theoretically, it's increasing, yes. I don't know that the purchasing has increased. I think it's pretty much steady. I don't think you're having spikes of people coming in and buying them. I think, you know, because of the prices going up, that has remained at a constant. It hasn't increased in any degree, not to where, you know, I mean, sure, the population has, but you only have a certain amount of people to serve, and that narrows our ability there.
Thank you.
Madam Johnson, have either of you two gentlemen been stung?
I have.
Yes.
And what was your overall response of how it was conducted?
I did not know what happened until I got a letter from the police department saying I passed.
I've been by both the OLCC and by the Clackamas County Sheriff's Department for tobacco, and we passed both. I don't totally agree with the way it's handled, but we passed, and, you know, my clerks are doing what they're supposed to be doing.
Thank you.
We also invested in a pretty expensive machine to check IDs, and that's another thing that, you know, that comes down the pike. You have to protect yourself from you don't know whom.
Thank you.
Thank you, gentlemen. Next, we have Bob Hessler and Tiny Matthews.
Mr. Fargo, would it be possible to pass, if we have to come back tomorrow anyway, and we'll probably take more time in your allotment here, perhaps you're someone that would like to
The staff tells me that we don't have public testimony scheduled for tomorrow, so we can't have it because of the 24-hour rule. So it's better if you go ahead and do it today if you want to.
Point of order here. Brought my mind.
Oh, good.
I have 29, so can I have a little leeway? I only have $5.
Oh.
Where's the cake?
I'm prepared for the cake, too.
Oh, my gosh, you guys came prepared. I assume you're going to plan on using a lot of acronyms,
yeah,
right?
The OLCC is going to be a lot.
The ORLA, too. They can buy that one.
Well, I think you can consider you've bought quite a few, then.
Okay, well, I don't know how many, but it's...
For a good cause,
American Cancer Society, thanks.
There are a couple of issues that came up in previous testimony that I would like to offer briefly. My name is Tony Matthews. I'm an agent in Portland. And the issue of alcohol control. I proposed to Administrator Erickson several years ago when she first came on board that you could initiate legislation that would put a bounty on the minors attempting to purchase and restrict driver's licenses and other state services from those minors when they got caught and pay that clerk in the pantry or wherever a bounty. Make that kid pay for it and I'll guarantee you that'll stop the miners trying to purchase much more than the new 200 new officers will stop. That has been totally ignored. So there are other ways without these oppressive stings to get the job done. But it requires cooperation and legislation. And since it doesn't require more employees to administer, I think it has been kind of gone through the problem. Why give these to you? My testimony is quite simple. Mr. Carson, on the way home from his testimony yesterday, asked me to again thank the committee, and he noted that it was much less nerve-wracking to go home than it was to come before his testimony.
I didn't realize we were so hard on everybody.
No, but you know, it's a little nerve-wracking for
people. Well, he's not well, so I'm certain that's...
I brought you two documents. I'm not going to read the testimony. I'm in the same position, Mr. Carson. A one-year contract was issued, and a six-month contract was issued. And after 30 years, I was pretty well insulted. So that leaves that. Yesterday in the mail, I received my Oregon OLCC agent annual evaluation. If you'll note on the first page, the agent wouldn't sign it until someone reevaluates your store. The fiscal part of this evaluation was taken during a time of remodel, and the things that are checked off as unsatisfactory weren't completed. They're now completed.